I bring greetings from the family of God in Bihar, India. It's a great joy and honor for me to be here with you today. I'm very grateful to Pastor Matt and for his friendship and for the invitation to come over here and to enjoy this time of worship and fellowship with you. Pastor Matt and his family have been a great encouragement and blessing and support to our ministry in Bihar, India. And for the last 8 years since I have come to know him, I have always been encouraged, blessed to have time of fellowship, friendship with him. And I'm very grateful that God has allowed my path to cross to your way. And you are living in a very beautiful land. And as I came, never been to New England area, although I have traveled 13 times across the United States. But as I came here, I saw the beauty of this land, and I'm glad that I'm here with you today. And I believe you are beautiful people, and it's a beautiful church. And God has brought us together for His name and for His purpose. And today, I'm grateful to God that we have this time to worship the Lord together. As Pastor Matt introduced, my name is Biju Thomas, and I come from the southern part of India, a state called Kerala. That's where the disciple of Jesus Thomas came. And I'm a third generation Christian. In 1989, God called me to be a missionary to northern part of India over the last 26 years. We have been serving God in northern part of India and particularly in Bihar for the last 21 years. And as Pastor Matt shared, Bihar is the birthplace of Buddhism, Jainism, Hinduism. It's also one of the most holy places for the Sikh religion. And there are 15 million Muslims living in that one state. And so you would find Bihar as the hub of all those major religions. And the irony is that most of these people in Bihar have never heard the name of Jesus, not even once. And that's where God has brought us to share our faith with those people who never heard His name. And we use holistic ministries such as clean water, empowering women program, literacy training, orphan care, and educating children, and medical clinics to somehow help those people to hear His name at least once in their life. And so this morning, as I share from the Word, I would like to share with you my calling, how God allowed me to cross the barriers to go over to Bihar to share the gospel with you. I would like to turn your attention to the gospel of Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 to 13. When Jesus entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, imploring him and saying, "Lord, my servant is living paralyzed at home, fearfully tormented." Jesus said to him, "I will come and heal him." But the centurion said, "Lord, I am not worthy for you to come under my roof, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, with soldiers under me, and I say to the one, go, and he goes, and to the another, come, and he comes, and to my slave, do this, and he does it." Now, when Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who were following, "Truly I say to you, I have not found such great faith with anyone in Israel. I say to you that many will come from the east and west and recline at the table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of God, but the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And Jesus said to the centurion, "Go, it shall be done for you as you have believed." And the servant was healed that very moment. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, we thank you so much for this morning and thank you so much for this day. Thank you, Lord, for your very presence with us this morning. As we open your word, we ask you, God, that you would speak to our hearts. Strengthen us by your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I would like to begin with a story of a Hindu priest who went to one of our pastors. And he said, Pastor, would you please pray for my wife? Because my wife is tormented by the evil spirit. He said his wife has not been able to cook. She has not been able to clean the home or do anything. And he was a Hindu priest, worshipped all these idols and offered prayers and sacrifices. The same gods were tormenting his wife. And he said, I took her to the medical doctors, nothing happened. I even took her to the witch doctors, nothing happened. And I don't have any other option. And I want you to come and pray for my wife. And to make that story very short, the pastor and his team went to his house and God healed her, delivered her from the demon possession. And today both him and his wife, they became believers. He is no more a Hindu priest, but he is a Christian priest. And he has taken the gospel to 17 villages and planted 5 churches in the state of Bihar. Over 100 people have been baptized and more than 200 people have come to know the Lord Jesus. Here we have a very similar story of a Roman centurion who came to Jesus and said, Lord, my servant is sick and he is about to die. When we look at this passage, we see that Jesus, the founder and finisher of our faith, once marveled at the faith he found in a man. And this is the only instance in the gospel where we get a response from Jesus. And who was this man? Was he a rabbi? No, he was not. Was he a Jew? He was not. Was he a disciple of Jesus? He was not. But he was a Roman officer, Roman centurion. And we find that as Jesus entered into the town of Capernaum, and he was met by this Roman officer and said, my servant is sick and he is about to die. Now, we see that, you know, Matthew is clear that the wonders of the kingdom of God is not only for Israel. This Roman officer is a man of healing faith. While Jesus rebukes Israel for their lack of faith in him, he also highlights the faith that he found in this man, the enemy of Israel. Faith is set into motion when we trust Jesus more than we trust ourselves or what we perceive. Now, what is the specialty of this Roman officer and whose faith Jesus was marveled? He was astonished at the faith he found in this man. And my title of the sermon today is The Faith That Astonished Jesus. Now, when we look at this background of this passage, we see that, you know, Jesus just finishes teaching the Sermon on the Mount, what would become the most famous sermon in the history. And when he entered the town Capernaum, which was his adopted home as per Matthew chapter 4, and he was met by this Roman officer and he had an urgent request. Or another way I would call it, he addressed a concern. Lord, my servant is sick and he is about to die. And this centurion came to Jesus to see if Jesus would be willing to heal his servant. This morning, I want to encourage you that Jesus Christ, he is not standing afar from us, but he is standing right where we are. And he knows all our concern. Even as we address our concern, as we go through different issues and problems in our life, even though we may not say all of that, but even as we think about it, even as we worry about it, Jesus knows our concern and he is right here to help us. And as you read the Bible further, you see that Jesus said, I will come and heal your servant. What an encouragement to know that God is with us and he is willing to address our concern no matter what it is. And this Roman centurion is a man in charge of 50 to 100 soldiers, and he has the rank of a present army captain. Now, he was the person responsible to maintain the law and order, and the Bible says that this man was very concerned about the servant who was about to die. Now, let's see the number one thing that we see, that this centurion crossed all barriers, or in other words, his faith crossed all barriers. Now, remember, this man was a very busy man, and he had many servants to replace the sick servant, but he took time out to care for his sick servant. As you know, a servant has low status, he has less money, he has less value in society. People always like to associate with people of the same status or superior status. But this centurion, we see that he took time to care for his servant. The second thing we see that it was an odd thing for a Roman to go to a Jew to ask for a help. And we see that this centurion asked Jew, or in other words, Jesus, for help. Now, you must know that the Romans were ruling the Jews, and they never asked for any help. In fact, it was below their dignity to ask for any kind of help. But this Roman officer crossed all social, racial, ethnic barriers to appeal for help for his sick servant. In other words, he was not self-centered. He cared about his servant, and he is asking, or he is taking a risk of doing a service to a servant. I remember when God called me to go to Bihar as a missionary. You know, my home state is 3,000 miles away from Bihar, and it was a huge difference from going from Kerala to Bihar. I did not know the language, the culture was totally different, the food was entirely different. And when I was working with Transworld Radio, there was a challenge, who will go to Bihar? And the executive director of Transworld Radio said, Biju, would you please pray with us? We want someone to go to Bihar. And I said, I will surely pray, but I am not going. And because of our friendship with each other, and he kept calling me every day, and he was asking me, Biju, did you hear anything from the Lord? We want someone to go. And I kept telling him, I'm praying, but I'm not going. But because of his continuous call, I decided I would pray and fast and give him an honest answer that I prayed and fasted, and I did not hear anything, and I'm not going, and I want you to stop calling me. On that Friday, the weekend, when I was fasting and praying, and I spent an hour and a half in prayer, and then God led me to Romans chapter 10, verses, and as I was reading that chapter, came to verses 13, 14, and 15. Verse 14 says, unless someone preaches, how can they hear? Unless they hear, how will they believe? Unless they believe, how will they call upon my name? I tell you, my friends, although I read Bible 5 times before, from cover to cover, read New Testament few times before, but I was never stuck on that particular verse like I was that day. And then I heard a audible voice from behind me, Biju, if you are committed for North India, why can't it be Bihar? And I literally turned back to see who was standing behind me and speaking to me. And there was nobody. So my room was a big room with a partition. So I went around the partition to see if there was someone sitting there and speaking to me. And there was nobody. And I looked at the door, and it was still locked. And I knew God was the one who was speaking to me. right then and there, I knelt down and prayed, and I committed myself to go to Bihar. And I told my executive director that I'm going to Bihar. And he said, "Are you serious?" And he said, "Yes." I told him what happened to me, and then they called me to the head office, and we had a time of discussion, and they were happy that at least somebody is going. I tell you, my friends, it was, a hard stuff for me to cross all barriers, cross all the difficulties that I had to face, the language, the culture, the food, to go over to Bihar. And today, let me tell you that there are 7,800 believers in the last 10 years. God has done an amazing thing, and we have planted 469 churches in the state of Bihar. And God wants us to cross all barriers in our life. And just like the centurion, our faith must cross all barriers. The Bible says when we are in Christ, we are a new creation. And therefore, there's no separation for language or status or culture or caste. We are all one in God, and God wants to see everyone equal, just like the Roman centurion. The second thing, we find that this Roman centurion's faith made him active in God's work. I would like to turn your attention to the Gospel of Luke chapter 7, verses 3 to 5. There we read, "The centurion heard of Jesus and sent some elders of the Jews to him, asking him to come and heal his servant. When he came to him, they pleaded earnestly with him, 'This man deserves to have you do this, because he loves our nation and he has built a synagogue.'" I like that verse 5. It says, "Because he loves our nation and he has built a synagogue." Friends, our service to God must come out of our love for God. It should not come because we like it or it's a cool thing and I feel like doing it. Our service to God must come out of passion, out of commitment, out of love for God. And here we see that this man was a Roman citizen. And as you know that it was uncommon for a Jew to be fond of a Roman. Here what we read is that the elders of the Jews, they were recommending Jesus, this Roman officer. Seeing the oddness of the recommendation, the Jewish elders added, he loves our nation, he has built a synagogue for us, and he deserves for you to do this for him. Now, as we read this chapter, we understand that, this centurion must have been different than many other Romans. Verses 4 and 5, there we find that this centurion built a synagogue with his own money. Now, remember, why he built a synagogue? As you know that only the Jews could go to the temple in Jerusalem, but anyone could go to a synagogue. In fact, at the time of Jesus, the major way God spread the good news was through the teaching in the synagogue. And the centurion knew if a synagogue could be built, many could come to the saving knowledge of Christ. And so he knew God was using the synagogue to spread the good news, and so he voluntarily built a synagogue. In other words, he voluntarily participated in God's work. Friends, it is such an encouragement for us from this passage to know that this man's faith was so big and so great that he was willing to spend his own money and participate in God's work. And if you have faith, If you believe in Jesus Christ, you will always want to participate in God's work. You will find out which medium God is using and try to invest your time and your money for the expansion of God's work. As we work in Bihar, we have several holistic ministries. One of the ministries that we have really found that is making an impact in the villages is adopting villages. When we go to a village, we adopt a village, we put a well there, and we have an education program for the children there. We have a medical clinic for the villages, and we have we place a church planter who go over to the villages and share the gospel with those people and to see a church planted in that village. And likewise, we drill wells. You know, there are a lot of people in Bihar without basic need, clean water. And so as we drill well, we have a dedication service, and we share from John chapter 4, 13, 14 about the living water that Jesus gives. And I see that these are some of the, what I call the evangelism tool that God has given us, that through which we can see the gospel is spreading from one village to the other villages. And that's the reason we were able to take the gospel to 1,200 plus villages in the state of Bihar within a short period of 10 years. When I talk about a village, there are 2,000 plus people in a village. Friends, it is our responsibility that we join with God and partner with God and to be involved where God is working. As I told you before, that it is our responsibility, if you are a believer in Christ, that you get involved in His great commission and make a difference in a place where God is calling you to or where God is at work. It's also important to sense where God is at work, and we join Him in His mission so that we can see a great transformation takes place in that place. And as you continue to look at this passage, what you see that it's not enough to pray for God to do something or to send someone without considering that God might be asking you. Or you can pray for villages in Bihar, and you can be that answer as you pray or as you give or as you go. And I would encourage you to seriously think about what are the ways that God wants you to be involved, no matter where it is, but be involved in God's mission so that through your faith and through your action, you know, not only your life will be blessed, but you would see that so many people will be able to be part of God's kingdom. Friends, I believe that we only want life to live, and it will soon be passed. But what we do for Christ will last forever. How many of you would want to see that there are people from Mexico or from India or from China want to sit with you when you are in God's kingdom? And this is that time that we seriously take the great commission of God that God has given us. This is a time we take our faith very seriously. God doesn't want us to have a shallow faith. God wants us to have a faith that will bring an impact in the life of the people that God is calling us to minister. He didn't call you and me to be just a believer and attend a church service on Sunday morning and be happy. I believe God has called you, He has chosen you to be a believer so that in and through your lives, God can touch many lives and communities. And because of your partnership with Him, because of your faith in Him, you will be able to see that there are many lives changed and transformed. And I had an option to come over to U.S. in Dallas in 1995, 20 years ago, when God called me to go to Bihar. And I was pressing to come to Dallas to study. But when God called me, I realized that it is important for me to join Him and partner with Him to work in Bihar rather than I go after my own desires, my own plans, my own will. And I'm glad today that I obeyed the call of God, that today as we see thousands of people have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, I thank God every day for sending me to Bihar. Friends, it is our joy, it's our privilege to partner with God, and our faith must be in action. And this centurion voluntarily participated in God's ministry, and he built a synagogue, and through which so many people were able to get to know more about Jesus and the kingdom of God. And Jesus knew of his heart, and therefore he said, I will come and heal your servant. So today, as we sit and listen to this message, pray, God, I want my faith to be in action. I want to participate voluntarily, no matter whatever it takes, to make an impact in your kingdom. The third thing that we find from this centurion's story is that this centurion's faith made him humble. If you read verses 8 to 9, there we find that, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. I'm just stopping there. And as we read this passage, we see that this centurion was a great man of humility. He knew who he is, and he also knew who Jesus is. And he knew he had the worldly power, but he knew Jesus had the heavenly power. He knew he had the authority to arrest and punish anyone, but he knew that Jesus had the authority to liberate and heal anyone. And he knew, worldly speaking, Jesus was under his authority, but he knew spiritually he was under Jesus' authority. And he counted heavenly power greater and surrendered everything to Jesus. In other words, he humbled himself before Jesus. And he says, Lord, my servant is sick. Now, I believe being an officer, he could have easily said, hey, teacher, come over here. Go my home and heal my servant. He could have easily said that to Jesus, but he didn't do that. He said, teacher, Lord, I want my servant to be healed. He is about to die. Now, when we come to God, we must come to him with all humility. We must put aside all our identity, our income, our influence, our financial status, our education, and we must surrender to the divine and spiritual authority of God in our life. We must understand that we are unworthy people, just like the centurion said, I am an unworthy servant for you to come. But as we sit over here, we realize that it is the blood of Jesus Christ that has enabled you and me to come before him. We must be grateful to God for the salvation that we have received. We must be grateful to God for the faith that we have in Jesus Christ. And as we come before him with humility, with that we see that God will continue to use our lives, and we can be a blessing for so many people around us. Remember, no proud person can walk with a humble Jesus. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 29, we read that Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. As I repeated, I want to repeat that sentence again. No proud person can walk with a humble Jesus. And Jesus says, I am humble and learn of me. And God wants us to be humble. And as we put our faith in him, as we learn more of him, as we learn more of his character and his love, that makes you and me more and more humble. And that we see that, God, I am an unworthy servant, just like this Roman officer said. And the fourth and the final thing that we see, that, you know, the centurion's faith made him trust in Jesus Christ alone. Faith, trust in Jesus alone. Verse 9, we read that, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell you this one, go, and he goes, and that one come, and he comes. I say to the servant, do this, and he does it. The centurion knew that a word from Jesus would be all enough for his servant to be healed. He trusted in Jesus and the authority of Jesus. He did not have a plan B if Jesus failed to heal his servant. How many times we come to Jesus with an option? We keep all our options wide open when we come to Jesus. And I have seen so many people who came into ministry. I have seen so many people who wanted to become Christians. They come with plan B. If it doesn't work, you know, I will quit and go. But this man had no plan B. And he completely, wholeheartedly trusted Jesus. And if he wanted, he could have called Roman doctors to come and, you know, attend his servant. And it was only a phone call away. But he did not do that. He did not depend upon the worldly resources, but he trusted in Jesus Christ alone. The challenge for us this morning is, how many of us really trust Jesus with all our heart? When we were building the TIM Center, the ministry center in Bihar, and we did not have the resources. And I tell you, it has been a journey of faith for me from the time I landed in Bihar. I don't have time to explain you all of that. We trusted God literally for everything and anything, for the finances that we need, for the work to be effective. And when we were building the TIM Center, you know, we didn't have the money. And I had some friends, and especially some of the partners in North Carolina. And I thought these friends of mine would be able to really help us, you know, with the TIM Center construction. I had a friend who was a multimillionaire. He still is my friend in Dallas. And we only needed $150,000 to buy the land. And I tell you, my friends, that nothing happened. So as I was back in India and sitting and praying, you know, I saw an email on my inbox, and as I opened it, it was an email from a man that I never ever thought would help us. And he said, you know, I would pay for the half of the land, and if your other friends could come and help, then it's all of yours or else none. And God taught me a lesson there. And as soon as I read that email, a verse came to my mind. Psalm 118, verse 7 and 8 says, it is better to trust in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to trust in princes. And I tell you, my friends, that was the time that I put aside all of my plans. And I said, God, I will completely trust in you. And I tell you, as we built that four-story building with the 20,000 square foot, every time we needed the finances, God brought someone over that place. And amazingly, God provided the finances that we needed. I didn't have to go after anyone. But God made the way. And God completed that building. Today we have a very nice ministry center where we have the orphanages, where we have the pastors training, our offices and the church is taking place. Friends, it's a joy to completely trust Jesus as we are in this journey of faith. We may have so many options in our life. And I know so many of us think, you know, if I do this way, or I should do this thing this way. But I tell you, as we follow Christ, the best thing that we can ever be sure of, that we completely trust Jesus, to trust him to take us through that journey, so that in our life we will be able to see that we fulfill his plan and his purpose. I don't know what the future holds for me, but I know who holds my future. And even as I walk this journey of faith in my life in Bihar and we serve him, I tell you with all my heart that we enjoy trusting God and seeing how God provides for our needs. And we trust God to see that miracles take place in the land of Bihar. We see healing takes place. We see that God is at work in ways and means that we can never ever imagine. And we see that God is at work in Bihar. And I want to encourage you this morning to think about your faith. How much you trust Jesus and how deeply you trust him. Do you trust Jesus with all your heart? Or do you just believe because you like to believe in somebody? You like to follow Christianity because I should follow some religion? But if you just follow him for the sake of following him, or if you put your faith just for the sake of putting faith in some God, what difference it makes from those Hindu people who follow and believe in 330 million gods and goddesses? If our faith does not cross all barriers, if our faith is not a faith of action, if our faith is not a faith of humility, if our faith does not bring humility in our life, if our faith is not in trusting Christ alone, we need to rethink about our faith. It's time to really think about, as we see that Christianity in many of the countries are going down. And on the other part of the world where we live, there are so many people putting their faith in Jesus Christ. They are so privileged, they are so blessed to know this truth of God. Many a time we take our Bible for granted. We have all the NIVs, ESVs, and the RSVs. And we got all the IVs. And we don't even care to read the Word of God. We don't even want to put our faith in him. We take everything for granted. We take the service for granted. We take all the privileges that God has given us, all the blessings that God has given us for granted. We think we deserve it. I tell you, as you come to India, as you go to China and South Asia, you will see that those believers are so thankful for their salvation that they have received. Because, you know, coming to know Jesus Christ, putting their faith in Jesus Christ, is a new life altogether for them. Let me finish with a story of a woman who came to our sewing program, and she wanted to be part of that sewing training, and she said, I want to take part in the sewing training, and we enrolled her. And as she was in the sewing training, she shared some of her problems. She had chronic headache. She was a staunch Hindu. She worshipped idols 3 times a day. And she asked the church planter, the pastor, to pray for her. And the church planter and his wife prayed for her. And to make that story very short, God completely healed her from her disease. And finally, they both decided to take baptism. They received Christ, decided to take baptism, and there were a lot of people lining up in the river to take baptism. And I was invited to go and be part of that service. So I was standing there. I saw all of these people lining up into the river and going into the river and taking baptism, shouting hallelujah. And coming back, and I saw this family coming back after baptism, and they changed their clothes, and I saw them bringing a big bag with them, and I thought they might have brought clothes to change, but they changed their clothes. And I was curiously looking at what they have brought in. To my surprise, as they opened, I saw them pulling out all the idols they worshipped and held it like this and began to tell me their names. And threw on the same spot where they took baptism and told those idols, we don't need you anymore. We have Jesus in our life. When I saw that, I said, that is transformation. And that is, if that's what gospel can do in the life of a person, I want to be continually involved in sharing this faith with people who never heard his name. And I tell you, my friends, it's a joy not only to believe in Christ with all of our heart, it is a joy to be involved with him in what God is doing around the world, and so that we can be a radical, vibrant Christian. And through our lives, we can make a difference in this part of the world. And God wants us to be a man and woman of faith and see our circumstances through the eyes of faith. God bless you, and thank you very much for this time.